Hi, my name is Emily Freeburn. I'm from Dartmouth College, and I'm going to be talking about improving usability for access control. So first, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. We'll be talking about access control in the real world of healthcare, some specific examples that motivated the work we did, what we chose to use for our solution, using capability exchange to provide delegation and create user flexibility. We'll go over on a high level what our solution does, and then talk more specifically about our prototype, which uses OpenEMR, an electronic medical records program, and Google's Belay project, which is a project for web authentication and authorization. And then we'll talk about what we learned and where we're going next. So access control in healthcare. As you all probably know, strict access control, you know, access control lists don't really work for big systems, hospitals. They're very complex. You know, you want to have a nurse administer a prescribed medication to one patient, but only if the doctor signed off on it. And that's a very specific example, and there are many more like that. You run into frustrated users. Healthcare professionals are trying to do their jobs, and they want to, they'll do their jobs whether or not the system lets them, and they can actually impede the process. You know, stories about doctors that leave their passwords in a broom closet so that all the nurses can get the prescriptions that the patients need. And so some of the papers that we looked at for our motivation talked about a prime directive. Healthcare professionals need to be able to do their job. And oftentimes, there are extenuating and extraordinary circumstances. And there have been specific solutions offered, having dynamic access control where, you know, you have this, well, if these certain cases exist, then you provide the access. Break glass policies, where if there's an emergency, a person is just goes in and does the job, and regardless of whether or not they have the necessary credentials, and all that's extensively logged. And then delegation of rights. So, you know, basically securing that process of a doctor leaving a password in the broom closet so that it's monitored and there are limitations. So we have two real-world examples that our prototype solves. Medication dose size, doctor prescribes 10 milligram prescription, but the pharmacy only has 5 milligram doses and the security system doesn't recognize it. So the nurse or practitioner giving the prescription has no choice but to either give the patient the 5 milligrams and ignore the system or keep the patient from their medical care. Medication time shift. So, you know, hospitals are busy and patients are busy and things don't always line up. A patient is late because they were on dialysis and they're supposed to be on an IV drip from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., but they are running late, so they don't arrive until 11 a.m. In that case, then the nurse or practitioner responsible for delivering the IV has to extend the time shift out of the system, just, you know, giving the medication regardless of what the system says. And these examples, you know, seem kind of minor, almost duh moments, like why doesn't our system have this already? And so addressing these pain points is really useful. It creates user buy-in. They're less frustrated and more willing to use the system rather than break it. And it creates a feedback loop between what the programmer who thought about the system when they were writing this and the actual reality of the system. So if we can address these problems, we can create a feedback loop for that. So really broad scale, how do we go from a situation where a doctor gives an order to a nurse, but they can't carry it out, and they can't get an alternative, to a situation where doctor has an order, nurse initially can't do it, but they can come up with an alternative which the physician can then, you know, sanctify in some way, so that for so that in that case and in future cases, the nurse can just do what they need to do. So general building blocks for our prototype, we focused on delegation. You know, delegation, user has some rights, they want to pass them on, and probably first modifying them by restricting them in some way. And we fully recognize that delegation isn't right in all circumstances. You know, one specific scenario, clinicians would say a 1 liter IV bag had only 8.5 liters, or 0.85 rather, so that they would get an earlier warning chime that the bag was running empty. So it was an immediate benefit to the patient service because they could prepare the next IV bag in advance. But it meant that the system was registering that the patient was only getting 0.85 of their medication, which causes problems. Then just capabilities. Security capabilities have been around since 1966. They're an old idea. We're taking a fresh look at them. Basic idea of a capability is that it's a car key, and you can give the car key to someone else, and they can use it to accomplish a very specific task. And so our solution uses the exchange of capabilities to create delegation of rights. So this is our basic workflow. Right, what these boxes here are capabilities. And so first off, the physician creates a new capability to prescribe a 10 milligram dose and assigns it to the nurse. So that would be the green star. In the best case, the nurse can just carry it out, and then it's done, and the capability is consumed in the process. However, if the nurse can't use that particular capability, they can draft a new one, and then they propose this exchange of capabilities. The physician receives that proposal and either approves it or denies it. If it gets approved, then the nurse, the physician can save that change as a template for later so that they're not constantly being barraged by requests for changes in prescriptions. And in the future, when the physician gives that same order, they get the nurse has those templates available to them at the time. So the nurse can automatically exchange capability for a template. So the specific pieces that we worked on for our prototype, we used OpenEMR. We compared it to Vista and OpenMRS, and we chose it because it has a realistic look and feel. It was easy to install and modify, and it's currently used by around 30 million users in the US medical system. So it could have a large impact. The other building block was Google's Belay project, which, and specifically their cloud access control protocol, which was intended for asynchronous web applications and web and cloud computing. Four main features, usability and security. So letting the use cases drive security, which is really useful for our purposes. Session continuity without cookies, so using a randomized URL as a key to have a specific action. Federated authentication, having an identity provider and pieces that then use that identity provider rather than having those pieces themselves try and provide authentication. And cross-app authorization, which is also very useful in medical space because there are so many different systems that are interacting. So here's our architecture for our prototype. We have a client browser which talks to OpenEMR and our capability agent. Again, a capability is a URL which points to the capability agent In our model, it lives together with the open EMR site for our actors, Alice and Bob. The capability agent stores actions that a URL can perform, a capability can perform. When a capability is invoked, an HTTP request comes from the browser using BCAP and passes parameters onto the agent. And after that action is called, the browser responds, or the browser gets a response. The actions and method signature are defined when a new capability URL is created at the capability agent. So we had three main areas of work. We had to extend OpenEMR to use Belay authentication, so changing the login page and using BCAP for that open identity provider. We used Belay capabilities for authorization, so logic in Belay to pull out database records and mixing the OpenEMR and Belay models so that they were integrated smoothly. And changing OpenEMR's ACL rule setting for our test roles, Alice and Bob. Finally, we had to add capability exchanges. This took a bit more work. We had to modify the prescription page so that you could assign and create capabilities and a nurse role so that they could view and act on those capabilities. We also had an exchange page so that a physician can review exchange requests, approve or reject them, and create templates for future use. We also had logic in order to invoke the capabilities, retrieve them, and metadata lookup, which basically means was a way so that you could find out what the capability was before you requested it. Looking at our prototype workflow, with the specific buttons with the workflow outlined earlier, you can log in, you can issue an order, which is the initial step in the workflow of the physician saying to the nurse to go fill this prescription. Drafting an order would be the nurse's response if they were blocked. My capabilities would be where a nurse can see what they currently have in the system. Capability exchange, that would be the nurse actually giving that exchange request to the physician. And approving it would be for the doctor to do and saving it. So this is a screenshot of our prescription page as modified. The first thing, you can see the capability up there at the top. Green indicates that it's valid. For this, we're going with the 10 milligram example, but you could also as easily apply it to the time shift example. And there you go, you get to issue a capability. This page would be the nurse's view initially along the workflow. So again, the capability is green to show that it's valid as a user queue, and there's a number by the capability for system management identifying the capabilities. This would be the nurse creating a draft. The color of the capability has changed to show that they're trying to make an exchange. And the two capability, and they're actually exchanging one capability for two capabilities, because for our example of 10 milligrams to 2.5 milligram doses, you're doing the same action twice. But they're each independently, they're independent capabilities. This would be the doctor's view. The first step is, just approving or rejecting the proposed exchange. But then they can also approve similar exchanges. And when they do that, they create this template. So this would be the nurse's view post-exchange. The previous capability that they had is revoked. And they instead have two brand new capabilities to prescribe the right kind of medication. And this would be what it would look like for the future, so that a nurse wouldn't have to bother the doctor to get this approved in the future. All right, so some next steps. We were able to come up with this prototype, which addresses end user flexibility and maintains security. Next steps would be investigating scalability. We only apply this to a very specific portion of Open EMR with the prescription page. So trying to integrate more fully would be an interesting and elucidating experience, I'm sure. Addressing the scalability of the templates used itself, how to keep track of the templates and identify which ones you would want a nurse would want, and dealing with the scale involved for that, because how many more cases are there like that really simple 10 milligram to 5 milligram. Researching usability and usefulness, buy-in from nurses and doctors to actually use the system. We would probably have to take out capabilities because they really don't want to know. They want to know the minimum necessary to use the system. So making that process a bit more transparent and easy to use, and researching how to do that. Conducting further security analysis. And exploring the kind of advantages that Belay offers further, especially with cross-app authorization, being able to interact with a prescription service or other kinds of medical services. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Hello. Kevin Fu, University of Michigan. So I like the problems you're solving. I did have a question. Could you go back to slide 30? I had recently read a paper. The author's name is, I'm terrible with names, but I'm looking at the drug pull-down menu, and there's been some recent research showing about the hazards of pull-down menus for e-prescriptions. I'll try to find you the reference, but you might enjoy. There's some books by, for instance, a fellow named Harold Thimbleby that talks about user interfaces and in the medical context. The drop-down menus tend to have a one-off effect where you might, for instance, prescribe one off of the medicine pretty easily. But anyhow, user interfaces are pretty strange stuff in the medical world. So,
thanks. Yeah.
So this is Jean Stanford from Noblis. I'm curious about the Google tool for authorization part. Mm-hmm. How extensible is this? Is it RBAC, ABAC? What does it do in terms of trying to help define any kind of granularity?
Well, it's a protocol that they're working on. Let me go back to the Belay slide. You're talking about the capabilities themselves. Capabilities can be as fine-grained as you want them to be. Really, the trick is how fine-grained do you want them to be? How fine-grained can your system handle in terms of scalability? Absolutely, yeah.
Eugene Wasserman, Kansas State University. I have a question about the medical equivalence of some of those capabilities, like specifically the one with the 10 milligram versus 5 milligram you showed. I wonder if you can go to your second to last slide so maybe I can explain a bit easier. And maybe I'm not quite understanding how the capabilities are meant to be redeemed or what this enforces, but theoretically here, if you redeem capability number 2, without ever touching capability number 3, that seems to be a legal action, but is totally not what was intended by the physician. Is the system not meant to enforce that kind of is that not meant to be something the system enforces, or is that an issue which could be addressed here by binding the two capabilities and saying you can use them both, but you can't use one of them and not the other?
You know, I'm not entirely sure about that. I don't think there's a binding ability for the protocol as of now. So that would be a you know, physician sign-off kind of deal where once they sign off on it, they can use either or hopefully both.
But I also mean in helping a physician reason about whether to sign off on on this kind of proposed exchange, can you have some sort of help to the physician saying these two are medically equivalent but only when done together, for example?
Yeah, that would be a great usability cue. I don't know whether our system could enforce that, however.
Not currently.
Not currently.
We were trying to address immediately the issues that were raised in the global paper on the barcode.
Thank you.
Are there other questions?
Okay.
Thank you very much.